spending a year and a half up in the Clifton area, and this is something I see outside my windows of my little house. They came in waves through Kudukoi. I like the 2005 movie based on War of the Worlds by Orson Welles. It captures how it might be to have a typical day on Earth go suddenly wrong. Strangely wrong. So giant robots with death rays coming over the hill wrong that there are no strings in the human experience to resonate. No bells, no poetry for the ages. I hints at that this bright yet stormy October morning. From my open porch door facing south, I am watching them pour in off the Atlantic, line after endless line of cloned white stallions passing by on the bay below. A stupefying blitzkrieg. But no bothering, there's no bothering of us local citizenry. But tonight, after news, we'll work back through the dark Connemara Hills. The Galway City has fallen, and not a single shot was fired. Just fresh out of the garden 7 hours ago. Look, we produced. Definitely organic. O'Sullivan's Zen Garden. To do his part to bring serenity to an unsettled nation, Jerry O'Sullivan installed a Zen garden within his pub doors, a remarkable temple of contemplation. Rounded beach stones in the gleaming sheet metal trough urinal have already turned green, resident algae flourishing in perfect feng shui. Burning jasmine sticks conceal old odors, candlelight hides the stains and waters that once sadly dribbled, now dance playfully, create notes of inner harmony that just today inspired me to write you a traditional Irish haiku. 239 syllables, no more. Or, like a proper tin of beans of that number, one more, like this poem, would become too farty.
And next we have Anita.
Who, me? Okay, birds. Birds. A pigeon lands, cunningly makes overtures as I take my apple out. Symmetrical white slash on his plumage. Shades of grey and black blend on the way down. Legs and claws turn pink. Apple donation accepted. His brazen eyes of yellows and greens say, "Give me more food, you alien." I bristle. Okay, but that piece is all you're getting. He moves over to two young, colour-coordinated women perched on stone steps, having their lunch on the other side of our new mini-park. Having their lunch. Shop assistants, maybe. I watch their outstretched, necky retorts to his advances. They have bought what they are eating. Fly away and source some berries.
Thanks, Anita. Next up, we have Seamus.
If you were down near the Atlantic pond, you might be lucky enough to see ducks nesting down at the edge in nightfall, you know. And that's what gave rise to this Atlantic pond. Ankle deep in dusky silence, dozens of ducks engrossed in line abreast at the rim of lagoon. Unescorted, a tiny flotilla of chicks, smooth as Drake's pool. Eight crop, landfall, offshore island 6 meters out. On the cosy, drying ledge, elders with ample elbow room hunker down one by one, wishbones still idle, finished with engines that the curfew begin. Captain. A yellow line, the only gap, a hectic day, won't be a sec. Across the way, a vacant lot, a red and green idling bus, a yellow clamp, perfect fit. Hazards flash, they double park, raging drivers, rubber neck. Crime scene shot, double click, crane swings out, fiendish work, hoist aboard the hostage truck. Part 3. Two wheels on curb, bold as brass, shutters click and note the time, warning stuck to near side glass, campers leave the scene of crime. Thank you.
Thanks, Seamus. Charles?
People who can remember where they were when President Kennedy was assassinated. And the I was in Rome, in fact. John F. Kennedy, 22nd November 1963. I heard in the school office the New Zealand girl, one or two others. I blurted something out. The next minutes are half remembered. Ascending the grand comic opera staircase, the stock room with its stained glass windows, unsympathetic talk. Signing the book at the embassy a day or two later in the Via Veneto, I felt an overflowing exiled emotion. An eventful year. An honorable man deserves a praise poem in a modern idiom.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you. It's got too hard for winter. I have been a degenerate like you'd refuse to believe, because you saw me on the inside of all finery. I'm glad you've gone now and not seen me like this. I'm glad you've gone for fear of what you would be. You're not the type I know, but the old ones are such treasures, especially on a Saturday night before adulthood. I'm leaving the district for a city of all strangers and for a life of the same, more or less, as here. But the people will be different and more indifferent to what they can discuss at tea break and publish. It's too hard for winter for me to walk down here. New kinds are all the same, yet the same as those before. Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. Next we have Eugene.
Far Denny O'Donovan, some stony, his dog, their target. He would abstain from dehorning, loading, feeling as the French did, as the children were led away. Chimney.
Thank you, Dave. Let's get back.
I was in London recently and I met an old friend and this happened. It's called Don't Come Back From London. You were the once, you are the dark, the pounding hollow timber heart. You are the ringing in the ears, the damning fog that never cleared. the waking up in fear of dawn, the line that by your hand is drawn, the remnants of a broken cross that splinters carried, burden lost. You are the blinking back of tears, the black hand chalking down the years, the wincing, sneering, burning glance, the shattered promise left to chance. You are the day, you are the night, you are the harvest, and you are the blight. You are the past, you are a ghost, the once eternal living host. You were a dream, you are a curse, and that was the end of this universe.
So this is a little bit different. It's a detective story. I haven't quite finished it, so I decided to finish it in the last 20 minutes there. Right. It's called Last Orders. Brickwater is a mid-level thug with a high-rent lawyer, and I was having some kind of low-life crisis, so I'd taken the case. I didn't know why he had walked in the Taproot Tavern that night, but seeing as he had the case, they had the bag under one arm, and I was contractually obliged, I followed him in, at a professional distance, of course. I worked for the decoy and worked for the lightning, that was for sure. I see foxholes brighter than this dive. I'd like to say I felt out of place, but I fit right in. There were three tents at the bar. The ceiling was bolted to either the wall or the floor, and the jukebox in the corner was all bashed in like Jericho. I fished around in the pocket of my greatcoat for a buck and a cigarette, and by the time I'd ordered a beer, I struck up a lucky. The barman had stubbed one of his and started another. Rick waved him in and bowled down the bar at me. Make the Boilermaker, pal. You don't want to take your chances with the skill of mystery. Wait, I was in. We fell to talking, or rather, the drunk sat beside him fell to talking, and I fell to buying the rounds. There was a dame downtown, a board in Brooklyn, a mammal who drank, a pipe works at a tube, and a button factory which had closed up. It worked in a gun store, down on 12th. We had to pack that in over a case of shot nerves. That was where Brick came in. He's a good man, this one. Got me my next gig, a cushy number, on the graveyard shift. He smirked, and Brick chose that moment to cut him off, before he said too much, I reckon. What do you do, pal? Out here's got a big mouth. I ran him the line about being a pest exterminator in the warehouse district and watched him hide a shy smile. Same business as yourself, I thought. But I kept it, shum, and made for the lab. I straightened my tie and loosened my holster. I strolled back out to the bar. I perused the bottles behind and pegged, to my surprise, at Dalhousie. I bought two pegs each for Alan Brick. I was feeling generous. I slid mine and rang the bell on the counter. I always had a flair for the drama. Last round, boys, I bellowed, before I pulled my coat and getting them in. I got them in. Picked up the case and left. The client would offer to pay, of course. But really, this was for the thrill. The opponents were on me. Cheers.
Thanks, Carl. That's the end of the open mic, unless anyone else is out there hiding in the shadows or the toilets. Okay, I'm going to give you two, so I'll abuse my position as MC, since now I have control of the mic, like I say the night was over. I'll give you two quick ones. I'll give you my attempt at the 5-word challenge, and then I'll try a new one on you. Remember, the 5 words were intransigent, pernicious, enigma, house, and finally. No longer considered intransigent, finally off that pernicious enigma, the housing list. I went swimming recently in Rocky Bay. Sure, why not? It was a fresh and crisp sunny day. A good and healthy short sharp shock, but didn't I bash my toes off a rock. And overnight, they were as attractive as Merkel, they turned a shade of blackly purple. And every word which was spoken was not, are you all right, or is it broken?
not words of concern, no words that were tender. In unison, the chorus was, "What the fuck are you swimming in, November?"